is Shannon. I lead the Expression Embers ministry. I also help lead the Desire Youth and Young Adults ministry. But let's be honest, you probably know me by the person who laughs really loudly. You know, some people call it obnoxious, I call it anointed. But we can talk about that another day. And today I'm going to be continuing on our yearly theme, which is Be Bold. And this morning I will be speaking on bold authenticity. You know, I believe this word from the Lord is going to be so powerful. I was preaching to myself this whole week, and I was getting really amped up, man. It was crazy. And you know, there's a lot of inauthentic people in this world. There's a lot of inauthenticity, and it's so cool that you know we are called to stand out from the world. And you know, how bold is our mission statement as a church? You know, our mission statement is authentic faith and relevant expression. How bold is that? That we have this authentic revelation from God that builds our authentic faith, our authentic relationship with Jesus. And therefore, as we are commissioned to do, we go out and live a relevant life and express our authentic faith in this world. You know, but what does being authentic truly mean? According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word authentic means true to one's personality, spirit, or character. It also means made to be or look just like an original. So if we bring these definitions under the umbrella of being a Christian, of being a follower of Jesus Christ, authenticity really means to be true to the original. Now, what's the original? The firstborn, who is Jesus Christ. Now, to live a life true to the original, to live a life as the Lord modeled out, takes a lot of boldness. Amen? Who agrees with that? It takes a lot of boldness to live a life that Jesus lived. Boldness to walk that Jesus walked. Just as Pastor Cara talked about, you know, it's not of course, Jesus died and defeated death and we are victorious, but it's the suffering of Jesus that, you know, that touches my heart, that he suffered for us, that he was so authentic to his love for his people who will reject him every single day, but he still chose to die for us and suffer for us. To talk the talk that Jesus talked, to suffer the way he did, to do the will of the Father the way Jesus did. This life, the picking up off the cross, the daily living of being a Christian, and the imitating of God, to be authentic in a world full of fake people is a bold act. Is a bold act. And this morning, I will be taking you on a journey on what it takes to be authentically bold. What really makes us true to the original instead of striving to be true to the original. And I will finish off with what being authentic looks like. What kind of fruit comes out of being bold in this world today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to speak your word, God. I pray that you will open up our hearts. I pray that you will speak to us, God. I pray that you will instill in us a boldness and a courage that is of heaven, Father God. And I pray that right now that you will instill in us a brand new revelation of who you are, of your love for us, and who you have called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Alrighty, my first point is, authenticity starts with identity. Come on. Do you know who you are in Christ? Okay, I'm actually asking the question, do you know who you are in Christ? Yes or no? Yes, okay, cool. Or is the devil currently winning that battle in your mind, manipulating your thoughts, distracting you from believing who you truly are called to be in Christ Jesus? You know what? Let's take it a step further. Let me start with this question. Do you know who your God is? Do you really know who he is? Do you really know who he is? Because knowing yourself starts with knowing your Creator. Amen? I mean, if you believe that the Bible is the true word of God, that it is God-breathed, and you really believe when you read those words that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God created me in his image, we shouldn't really be having too much struggle with our identity, really. If we truly believe that God is not a liar, and that what he wrote down, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that I'm a child of God, we shouldn't really be struggling with our identity. But that's what the devil does. Do you know the original? Being authentic, if I put it in the context of being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, is to be true to the original. Now, how can we be true to the original when we don't know who the original is? And I mean truly know. I'm not just saying believe, but I mean truly know that you abide in Christ, that you have studied, that you have just been absorbed to his characteristics. that you've had a supernatural revelation? Do you know who your God is, church? You know, write that in your notes. I encourage you, write that in your notes. Ponder on it with God in your alone time with him. That you have studied his ways and characteristics and solidified them in your spirit like concrete. That whenever the devil uses this inauthentic world and inauthentic people to make you live an inauthentic life that you were not called to live, that you know who you are in Christ so well that no matter what the devil throws at you, you will stand strong. You will stand strong. You can boldly decide to live the life that God has called you to live, no matter the resistance that comes against you. This is who you are, church. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, raise your hand if you are led by the Spirit of God. Come on. This is what the Bible says. These are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So if you don't know who you are, church, I'm here to tell you right now that you are a child of God. You are a child of God. I'm here implementing what the scripture says, and I'm speaking to you right now that whatever the devil has led you to believe that is not who you are, that you are unworthy, unloved, that your identity is in your job, that your identity is in what you do, I rebuke it right now in Jesus' name, and I speak to your soul, I speak to your spirit, and I declare that you are a child of God. You have been adopted into the family of Christ. Our true identity is in what God sees in us. So simply put, we need to always live according to how God sees us. Like I said, never ever base your identity on your feelings, on your hobbies. Your identity is not in your job, your hobbies, your anything. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. You know, church, all my life, since the earliest memory of my life, I've always just been so in love with sports. You know, I've loved sports. You know, you throw me a ball, I'll throw back at you, or I'll catch it, or I'll do something with that ball, or run around, just be crazy. You know, you think I'm crazy now, I was pretty crazy when I was younger. But since the age of 7, when I came to New Zealand, I just had the dream of being a professional athlete. I wanted to play cricket internationally, and I used the skills and the talents and this passion God gave me, and I idolized it. You know, I had these passions, and I put them over the one who gave it to me. I used to really justify it as well. I used to write Bible scriptures on my back just to like justify that I'm doing it for God, but really I was doing it for myself. And I used to get mocked all the time. But then, praise God, he rescued me from that before I went into a hole of my own mess. And then, but right now I stand here and I'm being. God revealed to me what I was doing, and right now as I stand here, I use what God has given me for him. And recently, in this season, you know, Nelikshan knows, oh, where is Nelikshan? He's not there. But Nelikshan plays for my team as well. And I was, knowing who I am now, that my identity is not in my cricket, knowing who I am now, that my identity is in Christ, I had this situation once with my coach this year. Where you know, once a month we leave early. Nelikshan and I leave early because we got to go to a church meeting. So I'm a batsman, so I ask my coach, "Hey, coach, can I please get some training in before I have to leave?" And he just comes up to me. He's like, "You know, if you want to make it in cricket, you gotta really prioritize it and let go of these other priorities." And I looked at it, I was like, "Sweet," and I just walked away. And that's because I have peace on who I truly am called to be. You know, I spent before 2019 or whenever it was, 2019, I was so in love with cricket. I would without hesitation, I would walk away from church just to go play cricket and do it for God, because that's what God has called me to do. But now I just walk away from anything that is not what God has called me to be, because I have abided in Christ. I know my identity. I've spent hours and hours in the presence of God asking the Lord, "God, who am I? Who am I? Who have you called me to be? Who have you chosen me to be? What have you told me to do?" Because I'm not here for no reason. In my teens, I struggled with identity, man. I was the fat, chubby kid who wasn't good at anything. And I struggle with my identity. So I really wanted to know from this God that I've been praising and worshiping all my life, who am I? Why have you put me on this earth, God? And now I can walk away from all of my feelings, walk away from anything that I know that my flesh wants, because I know the God I serve and I know who he has called me to be. And I'm so in love with him. I'm so in love with Jesus. So don't leave room for your feelings or anything else that can fog you from who you truly are. The devil is deceptive, man. The devil is so deceptive. He will use something that is good to deceive you into thinking that you are someone that you're not. Don't believe any of this fog that can start to toss you and turn you into these worldly agendas and identities. Be bold, church. Be bold. Before I move on to my next point, I want to challenge us this morning. If we are struggling with our identity, consider if you're spending time with your Creator. Consider if you're abiding in the vine. If you truly struggle with your identity, I know it's easy to say, yes, yes, I know who I am. Sorry, I'm not mocking you guys, sorry. I encourage you guys to please spend time with your Creator. Consider if you truly know who your God is, if you truly know who your Creator is, if you're truly abiding in Christ, and if your foundation is in Christ, because if it is, you will not be tossed and turned or confused. Authenticity doesn't mean acting according to how you feel at a particular moment. Okay, that's good. Being authentic means taking captive your feelings and thoughts and making them follow who you truly are in Christ, your true identity. Live out your true identity, church, your new identity in Christ. Do not be deceived by the world or your feelings. Just to do what makes you happy. We're not called. Jesus didn't die for us on the cross to do what makes us happy. Jesus died for us on the cross so we can have a relationship with him and do what makes him happy. Okay? Our happiness is temporary. We seek joy, and joy is of the Lord. Come on. Next point, authenticity moves. How do we be authentic as a Christian? My first point within this subtitle is imitator. Be an imitator of God. Christ is the firstborn, and God wants us to conform to the image of his son, Jesus, as his followers. So this is God's heart for us, is to be conformed to the image of his son. Romans chapter 8, verses 29. For whom he foreknew, you and I, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So as a Christian, of course, our mission is to go out into the world, preach the gospel to all four corners of the earth, as the last chapter of Matthew declares, you know, heal the sick, feed the poor, all this stuff. But while we are on this earth, we are constantly being sanctified and conformed to the image of Jesus. You know, we can be stubborn. On Friday, we spoke about pride. Our pride and our stubbornness can stop us from going to where God wants us to be. If we are open to being sanctified, because the sanctification process, church, is it's a tough one. It's a tough one. It's a pruning one. It's a hurtful one, but it's a good one. It's a good one. You will see the fruit of it. You know, doing our best, we need to do our best every day to live out the calling that God has called us to live. You know, we want to see like Jesus, we want to hear like Jesus, we want to speak like Jesus, move like Jesus, have a heart like Jesus, have a heart of compassion for the lost like Jesus did. And every day we are being sanctified. This is God's heart, to conform us to the image of his son. But like I said, in today's inauthentic world, very fake world, it is a bold act, and the devil will do whatever it takes. Whether it's your feelings, whether it's your motives, whatever it is, your hobbies, your jobs, whatever it is, to distract you from the true calling of God in your life. You know, if you're afraid to live authentically for God, in His will, because of your job, because of your friends, because of your circle, because of your hobbies, that goes to show where you actually put your identity in. You know. If I put it in my perspective, I'm afraid to start about, you know, obviously we've been called to preach the gospel, I mean, and spread the gospel. And if I'm afraid to spread the gospel in my workplace because, oh, I'm afraid I might lose my job, obviously there's lines. I'm afraid I might lose my job. It shows where I put my priority in. Because if I'm putting my job over someone's eternity that God has called me to talk to, that clearly shows to me where I've put my identity in. If you put it in your hobbies, Again, shows where identity is in. You need to prioritize who God has called you to be, and then you will live life and life in abundance. Amen. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Okay, I love God. He's so cool. The way he writes the Bible is amazing. It says, it doesn't just say, therefore be imitators of God. It says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. So knowing who you are, knowing your identity as children of God, then you go off and be an imitator of God. Not just strive, or not just work super hard without knowing who you are, but as dear children, you wake up and you know that God has put breath inside of your lungs and you are a child of God. Then you go and imitate God as his child. How powerful is the word? How perfectly constructed. I didn't even realize, I was going through my preaching. I was like, wow, that really relates to identity. God's good. God's really good. And my next point on the fruit of authenticity is walk in love. Walk in love. This is a big one. Now, this requires boldness. Godly love, not fleshly love, but godly love requires boldness. Now, loving God and your neighbor is obviously the greatest commandment. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. So how do we walk in bold authenticity? We love God, we love people, friends or enemies. Okay, friends or enemies, Matthew 5, verses 44 to 47. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. Your identity is a child of God. Love your enemies. Oh, okay. Thank you, God. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Again, God calls us to imitate him right there. Be perfect as I am perfect. As a child of God, you go love your enemies. As a child of God. It's easy to love people who do nice things for you, but true, bold authenticity is shown when you love your enemies. When you love those who persecute you, who hurt you. So be perfect. Just like your heavenly Father is perfect. And it makes sense, right? It truly makes sense. Just living authentically as a Christian means walking in love. If you turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, it declares, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Come on, come on. It makes sense because of our identity. To know ourselves, to realize who we truly are in Christ, why we are on this earth, we need to know God. We need to know our Creator, because who better to know us than our Creator? And to know God, according to the scripture, means to love one another, because love, in its truest form, is of God. I'm not talking about worldly love here, church. I'm not talking about fleshly love. I'm talking about love that is of God in its truest form. True love, you need to know it to know God. Because love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. When you are born, you become a child. When I'm born of my mom, I'm now my mom's child. I'm now my parents' child. You are born of God. You are children of God. If you do not love, if you claim you're a Christian and you do not love people, the Bible says this, not me, okay? The Bible is saying this. He who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God himself is love, church. This word challenged me. I've preached to myself 4 times this week, and every single time it's been impactful. God himself is love. How can we claim that we know God have a relationship with God and claim we live an authentic life. Because we all boldly declare, I know Jesus, I know who I am, I know my identity. But I'm going to challenge all of us, you and I, how can we know God when we don't love our enemies? When we don't pray for those who persecute us? Then we don't go out there and love the way God has called us to love? To live authentically, as the dictionary said, is to live true to the original. The original, the firstborn, Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. So according to this question, if God is love, then for us to live authentically, we need to imitate God and also walk in love. I'm just putting all these verses together, okay? If you're, put your hand up if you're still with me. If you understand what I'm saying, awesome. Okay, good. Those who love know God, according to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. Those who love know God. To know yourself, you need to first know God. When you know God, you know yourself. And since you are children of God, we have now been commissioned to be imitators as children of God. Come on. It's like algebra. Story of Jesus' love. This is, goodness. While I was preparing, I was like, wow, how am I going to like convey this point through to the church? But let's go to the story of Jesus, the Easter story. So going to the cross, Jesus was sweating blood at Gethsemane, so much anxiety in him. The whole Easter story, where despite the anxiety and pain Jesus felt at Gethsemane because of the joy set before him. Now what was his joy, church? His joy was being in communion with us, was having a relationship with us. All of us who would reject him every single day, no matter how big or how small our sin is, we will reject him every single day. He still endured the cross, dying for people that will reject him for eternity. Yeah. That is godly love. That is godly love. Because of the joy set before him. Oh, Jesus suffered at Gethsemane. You read the Bible, Jesus suffered at Gethsemane. Oh, he asked the Father, God, take this cup. But what did he say? What did he say? He said, God, not my will, but may your will be done. Oh, he loved us so much, church. This is Jesus' love statement to us. He loved us and he loves us. I mean, I don't know about you, but to suffer to the point of death, that is authenticity to the mission. Amen. That is authenticity, a testament to his authentic commitment to the Father. Despite how he felt, because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And now look at us. We have communion with the one true living God. Jesus' authentic commitment to the Father and his calling was so beautiful that it moved even the most unlikely of people. Matthew 27:54. So when the centurion, so the people that were trying to kill him and slaying him, and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The centurion who was advocating for Jesus to be killed says, truly, this was the Son of God. Jesus' authentic living to his mission and his purpose moved a man who once wanted to kill him. Now let us ask ourselves that same question. Are we bearing fruit worthy of repentance, as Paul says? Are we so committed to God and the calling that he has placed on our lives that our day-to-day authentic living moves the hearts of people around us? That is just second nature. Because I'm a child of God, I imitate God. God doesn't just ask us to imitate him. That's mockery. By the Spirit, when you imitate him, though, that's living your calling. That in your workplace, like I said, in your workplace, it's just second nature. I don't care what happens to my job. If God has called me to talk to that person, I'm going to talk to him. Let us ask ourselves that question. Let's take it a step further. Okay, this is really going to challenge us. In our Gethsemane, will we still remain authentic?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, when the going gets tough. Yeah. When the going gets tough, when God puts us in that valley season, when we're in our Gethsemane, will we still remain authentic? Because when we're squeezed, the real juice comes out, doesn't it? When we're squeezed, we know our identity. That when the going gets tough, our foundation is so strong, it will not be moved. We can religiously sweep the floors, play a few songs. You know, that's all easy. But when God takes our faith through the fire, will we crumble or will we rise? Rejoicing in the tribulation, knowing that it's developing our faith deeper and a deeper relationship with our Father. Are we religious Christians? Tick the box Christians. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God is real, like the devil, okay? But we don't have a relationship with Him. We don't know who our Father is. We have forgotten our first love, and therefore we live a life of inauthenticity. And how sad is that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, not only do we have eternal life, but we now have, through the Holy Spirit living in us, communion with the Father, and some of us still are happy living our lives of complacency. That we have this amazing opportunity to just go to God about anything, but some of us are still complacent. You know, passive Christianity in today's world is getting ridiculous, honestly. Passive Christianity is getting ridiculous. We have access to the all-sovereign, all-knowing God, and we still are living these worldly lives. You don't know who you are? Go ask God, He will tell you. You don't know what you are called to be? Go ask God, He will tell you. Oh, if it's God's will. But I'm just going to stay in bed. Oh, if it's God's will. No, God, you said this, it's going to happen. God, you gave me this vision, it is going to happen. I prophesied in Jesus' name. That is boldness. That is boldness. Some of us are still complacent, not having tasted and seen truly the goodness of God. This is the Lord's cry there in Isaiah 29:13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. I hope you're not fearing God because someone else has told you to fear God. I hope you're fearing God is because God has placed that fear in you. Come back to your first love, church. Come back to your first love. Boldness is supernatural. Being an authentic follower of Jesus Christ is a supernatural feat, but it can be done by the Spirit. By the Spirit. I've got this little... Okay. Well, that would have been embarrassing if I couldn't carry that. I got these fruit bowl here. And I got two different apples. Who can tell me they're different except for the colors? What's the difference? Okay, except for the size and colors, guys. Who can tell me the difference? Yeah, this one is fake. This one is authentic. All right? Okay. I'm going to start off with the fake one. This was Shannon before 2020. Okay? This was, you know, nice and shiny on the outside, but if I bite into it, oh, tastes pretty bad. Won't be good for my gut as well. Now, this Shannon was the Shannon that boldly professed Jesus Christ as my Lord. Oh, okay, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Sunday when I used to help Pastor Don lead Expression in Kids Church, I used to come hungover. Yeah, you can laugh. That was me. I used to come and come hungover, and I used to live the fakest life ever. But I boldly declare that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my God. But I did not live it out. I was fake. I looked shiny, but once you opened me up, once you squeezed me, once you got a bite, it was not tasty. Now this... Oh, and also, this fake Shannon was the one who was very pompous, haughty, arrogant Shannon that just wanted everything for myself. I don't care about anyone else. I want to play cricket. I want to be the best. I want to be the greatest ever. I actually had those dreams. I want to be the greatest cricketer that ever lived. I'm going to put myself above anyone else. I used to get my dad every single day. My dad used to come throw balls at me, man. And it didn't matter how he felt. Like, I used to get annoyed if he didn't come and train me. But this was fake, Shannon. Okay? No one wants this apple. Okay? Doesn't even look good. It's $2 from Look Sharp. Okay? This is now a real apple. This, praise God, praise Jesus, has spread his living inside of me. God has changed my life, and this is a real apple. If you bite into this, Shannon, now, oh, it's a tasty one. It's a very tasty apple. Okay? It's very nutritious as well. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. I don't know who came up with that propaganda, but that's not true. And one apple a day is not going to keep the doctor away. You've got to do some other stuff as well. But this Shannon has been pruned. This Shannon has been shaved, made to look like humbled. This Shannon has been going through a process, just like a real fruit. Starts from the seed, takes a bit of time, but it grows into this ripe apple that is ready to be eaten. I cut it up. It's juicy. Okay, this is guy's spirit, okay? This is the Holy Spirit. It's juicy. We're in it's a Holy Spirit time. Let's not laugh. It's a good apple. Now, the difference is one has been through a process. One has just was $2 that I'm going to invoice the church for. But this one's been through the process. All right? Who wants an apple? Do you actually want? Catch it. Take, Bodhi! Good stuff. Who wants a fake apple? No one, exactly. So that's what I'm trying to say, church. As children of God, imitate God. Know who you are. Abide in the vine. That apple abided in the vine and produced fruit. That fruit. Abide in the vine of Jesus Christ. No more passive Christianity. You serve an all-knowing God, a powerful Father. You go to Him. If you're struggling with something, you go to Him and be healed in Jesus' name. Whatever mindset that you have right now that you are someone other than a child of God, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. If you are someone that struggles with identity or being authentic, church, if you're someone that struggles with being authentic, the root cause is your identity, is knowing who you truly are. That's the root cause. I've supported with scripture, so come back to your first love, return to your Creator, and get to know Him. And through getting to know Him, you will begin to know who you are in Him. And my goodness, once you really know and get a grasp of who you are in Christ, your life will change. And I'm a living testimony to that. Your life will change. Everything around you will just change. You will be living in supernatural joy and despite your Gethsemane. God, I don't care what's happening around me. I serve you. I live for you. I know what you have said will happen. And because of the joy set before me, I will endure the Gethsemane. When you move according to the Spirit of God, the demons will tremble. The gates of hell will shake. And through your authentic living of life, not only will that happen, but your authentic living of life, your circle of influence, you will change people's lives through the way you live. It's not just about talking. It's about living and inviting, as Rick said. Yeah, there are people out there who need authentic people. God is raising up an authentic generation. So much inauthentic. I'm not the only one that believes that. I hope not. There is so much fakeness out there. And God is calling all of us to be real, to be authentic in Christ. Could I please have the worship team up? Identity is a pride issue as well, as authenticity, as the root of inauthentic living is identity. The root of identity is pride. That we're afraid to go to God and realize who we are. That we want to do what we want to do. I didn't know my identity because I was living in pride. And so I commission you, church, true joy and true life and life in abundance is found in Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you have called us by name. We thank you, God, that you have created and made us in your image. We thank you that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. That we don't just say that with our mouths, but we believe that in our spirits. We thank you, God, that you know the hairs, that the count of hairs on our head, that you know us better than we know ourselves, Father. And I just pray right now, God, for anyone in this auditorium today that is struggling with their identity. Anyone today that don't know who you are, I pray, God, that you will come like a mighty rushing wind and invade their souls, invade their minds. I pray a complete renewal of their minds right now in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you will firm up like concrete in their spirit who they are, that they will stand on the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ and no longer build their house on sandy ground. And God, I pray that as they supernaturally know who they are in Christ, as you reveal it to them, I pray that they will supernaturally live boldly, that they will supernaturally live a bold, authentic life as children of God. So as the worship team sings, church, I really want to encourage us. You know, identity is really what the devil uses to deceive us. So if we're truly struggling with this, I want to encourage us as the worship team sings, there will be people praying for you. If you're someone that struggles with identity, please come to the front and receive prayer. And know, expect a healing right now. Expect a healing today. Boldly expect it. If it's your will, God, you will heal me of. No, it is God's will that you know who you are. So come up, be bold, and come and receive your blessing today.